But as soon as we hit 100,000, then we jumped to 200,000 the next month. Like literally 30 days later, we doubled it.
And so basically in the past nearly 12 months, you guys have increased 420,000 more or less. What's the tipping point there, Matt? What do you think took it to the next level?
Focus. We decided to actually focus on YouTube. So we decided to just really focus on it and get strategic on it and really just make sure our content was good. And not even just good, just like great. And then make sure there's not a lot of fluff.
We stand today. This is Method with a shout out.
The Business Method.
The Business Method Podcast.
The Business Method Podcast featuring Chris Reynolds. Entrepreneurs, systems, methods, tools, and tactics for location independence.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm your host, Chris Reynolds, and welcome to the Business Method Podcast, a podcast featuring successful entrepreneurs and high-profile people dissecting their business models. We dissect the different methods, tools, and tactics of high-performance online entrepreneurs and high-caliber people in a series format. On our first series, we interviewed 100 entrepreneurs in 100 days that have built businesses creating $100,000 or more annually. On our second series, we interviewed 100 entrepreneurs that have built location-independent businesses that produce over $1 million in annual revenue. And now we're interviewing 100 major influencers to get behind the minds and the science of using influence to grow business and influence income results, economies, and cultures. There's a growing number of people building these caliber of businesses like this, and we're going to figure out what it takes to make this happen. Now, let's jump in today's show.
The Business Method.
Imagine having over 500,000 YouTube subscribers and 80% of those were in the past 11 months. Today's guest is a good friend, founder of The Attractive Man, and world-renowned dating coach, Matt Artisan. And in the past year, his YouTube channel and influence has skyrocketed. Matt has been a dating coach since 2006, teaching men how to communicate and date women. He started out by helping a couple clients one-on-one. Over the years, he has turned this service into a business that helps thousands and thousands of people, and they consistently run events all over the world. Today, Matt and I chat about the influence he has acquired over the years. We talk about how he grew this simple service into a business, and he shares his secrets to his massive YouTube growth in 2018. Without further ado, Matt Artisan.
Entrepreneurs, systems, methods, tools, and tactics.
You guys, my good friend Matt Artisan is on the mic today. Matt, how is Tampa, Florida?
It's not bad. I wish I was in Chiang Mai though, Chris.
You prefer Chiang Mai over Tampa?
Yes.
How come?
Absolutely. I prefer Asia over America. Let's just say that.
Okay. I think most Americans would probably prefer, I don't know, I guess it depends who you talk to, but it seems like a lot of people go to Tampa. Is Tampa a retirement place or is it... is it still like a thriving, cool place to go?
I had fun here actually on Friday night. We went out. We're here for more of a business meeting, a mastermind sales group kind of thing. But we all went out Friday night and had a good time. But, you know, it all depends on the group of people you're with.
That's
but,
true.
I mean, yeah, it's not like there's old people are everywhere. I didn't.
Yeah, buddy, it's good to get you on. I don't know if we've ever had a full-on hour-long chat in a formal setting. I guess we've hung out before quite a bit and actually met on a ranch in Northern California back in, what was that, 2012?
Probably, yeah.
Men's leadership seminar, yeah, where we learned how to become better men and have been implementing ever since. But it's cool to see your progression because I think then we went to another seminar together afterwards. I think that was Principia. And I knew what you were doing. You weren't just starting out, but you were kind of still in the infancy stages of your business back in 2012 and traveling the world and doing a lot of this stuff on your own. And you also met Aaron, which is now your business partner there. And was Aaron your first, did you have employees with the company before you met Aaron, or was Aaron the first person to come on?
I only had an assistant in the Philippines before Aaron came on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty much like the first real employee, and then eventually became business partners and 50-50 partners.
Yeah. It's been great to see your growth, because after that, then Aaron came to one of our entrepreneur houses in Barcelona, and him and I became pretty close. And then I've got to see your guys' growth over the years, especially in the past 12 months. I mean, you guys have really skyrocketed, especially on YouTube in the past 12 months. But I know it's been years and years and years of work, right? It's not like this all came from nowhere. And I definitely want to learn more about your story and your success. So why don't we just start there, Matt, and kind of give you the mic for a couple of minutes and learn. Well, I think you started just kind of helping people in your fraternity talk to girls back in the day. Is that right?
Sort of, yeah. Not so much a little bit in the fraternity, and also in I was a CS major, computer science, so a lot of guys that struggled with women, and I did too for a long time in high school, especially, which is when I started like reading about it. This was like in the 90s, and there weren't a lot of books back then, but I found a few because I was like super anxious and not popular at all in my school, and like, you know, the bottom of the food chain kind of thing, and just jealous of all the popular kids. And so, I started learning and reading about it. And I had a friend that transferred to my school, and he was kind of a natural. So I kind of watched what he did and got some stuff from that. And then also decided to learn how to play guitar and get better with the lady. Well, not necessarily get better with the ladies, but get kind of some status and, you know, perform in a band and get girls that way. And that worked for a long time. And that's actually why I moved from North Carolina at the time to California, where I studied computer science in college. But the real reason I was out there, don't tell my parents this, but was to play music and be a rock star. And it definitely worked. And really, that was my first business, was playing in a band. And we ran it like a business. And it was in the MySpace era. And we did really well. We toured with a lot of big bands like My Chemical Romance and Linkin Park and Taking Back Sunday for a few weeks in the U.S., one of their U.S. tours. And then when the band broke up, I was like, I felt like I was kind of like back to square one with women. And like, I felt like I had more confidence, but at the same time, I felt like my identity was completely stripped away. I was like, okay, well, if I'm not the cool guy in the band, like who am I? Like, why would girls want me now? And so I was striking out a lot. Like, I felt like I had all this success, and then it all just went away, which is almost worse than just not having the success in a sense. You don't know how good it is, but I did. I was getting girls. And so I was, you know, always reading books and personal development, but I decided to take a boot camp, like a live workshop in LA on how to meet and attract women. And it was really good. I learned a lot, and I took a few more boot camps with that company and became a trainer with that company in LA. And at the same time, I was starting to help my friends. I did start a fraternity back in college, and that was actually a little bit earlier. I didn't really know what I was doing when it came to girls back then. But thankfully, after the boot camps, I got a little bit better, and I decided to start my own company because I wanted it to be more authentic and real and just simple. Like, I noticed the companies I was working with, I started working for a few companies at that point, interning for some companies, taking workshops with some companies, and actually being a trainer for other companies. And a lot of what they taught was just very complex. You had to memorize a bunch of stuff. There was all these different steps and things to do, and it just seemed too difficult. And a lot of the students, the guys I was trying to help too, just seemed confused and sometimes even more lost. And so I took a step back and was just like, well, how can we make this simpler? Like, do we really need to memorize all these things and learn all these tons and tons of concepts? and all these steps. And I ended up just kind of studying more naturals and studying some psychology and evolutionary biology and just all these different things, and just kind of made like an 80-20 rule of dating. Like, what are the things you have to do, or at least are the most important and essential when it comes to like approaching a woman, and focus on those things, the things that are going to get you the most results. And so, then slowly, it was a slow process, just like anything. And just like kind of in the band, you know, it started off playing some shitty dive bars with no fans. Then we got 5 fans and then 10 fans, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon we're touring with Linkin Park. Same thing with the business, you know, it started with one client paying me $10 an hour. And then it just, you know, got bigger and bigger, and every year just grew and grew. And you mentioned the YouTube thing. That took like 6 years just to get to 100,000 fans, which I know that's, or followers or subscribers, I guess, which I know is, that's significant. That's really good if you're hitting 100,000. But as soon as we hit 100,000, then we jumped to 200,000 the next month. Like literally 30 days later, we doubled it, and it's been growing ever since.
When did you start The Attractive Man, Matt?
At the end of 2008.
Okay.
I had my first client, my first paying client. It wasn't called The Attractive Man back then.
Okay.
But that's when I personally started professionally.
And so it's been a long journey for you, and I can imagine. So I want to address a couple things. One is that a lot of times, well, the male pickup scene gets a really bad rap, and there are some shadesters out there, but there's a lot of people that just start out like you. You're hanging out with some computer science guys, and you see that they're having a hard time talking to girls, and you're like, hey, maybe, and that's a genuine thing that you want to do, is like help them. Maybe I can help them do a little better in this part of their lives. And then you as a person grow, because I had that same thing. Like, I wasn't popular in high school. I always wondered why these jerks were getting these amazing girls, you know. And then it wasn't until I learned the psychology of understanding myself and then connecting with another female to that, how important that is both for you and the interaction with the female or whomever you're talking to, but also then how this always applies to business. So I think what I'd like to know, Matt, is back in the early days, like what were some of the things that you were doing when you first started your business to just help these guys meet women?
In the early days, I mean, like the first like one or two clients, I didn't really know that much like what I was doing. I was kind of just testing the waters, which is kind of always a good idea when starting a business, instead of just jumping. Sometimes it's good to just jump in head first. Other times it's a good idea to test the waters, which is what I did. And yeah, the guys I worked with, like the first two or three clients, were just so happy, like so impressed by the results and blown away. And I wasn't even really expecting that. I was expecting some results. But yeah, once I saw just like what was happening with them, the transformation they went through just through a very short time with just some kind of, you know, simple basics, that's when I really kind of like honed things and just really started studying and really immersing myself even more and like figuring out what's going to be the best for myself, for my improvement, because I was still learning and growing, and still am, of course, even in dating, like there's always room for growth. And then how can I implement that and then pass that along to students, and, you know, learning how to coach someone in the same process, because I never, you know, I was playing in a band before that, and, you know, that's totally different than coaching someone and teaching someone, and everybody is different. So you have to like adapt to all these different situations and personalities. And with dating, anything can come up. Like, you could tell him to go approach a woman and she gives him a great reaction and he's thrilled and on top of the world and can't believe that it's so easy. Or it could go horribly wrong and she's not so friendly and he's, you know, not in the best state. And then you have to deal with that and work through that. And sometimes that's great. That's a great learning opportunity for him and for me to try to, you know, deal with that. So it's been a challenge, and but in a good way, right? And then just it just kept evolving, like figuring out how to do things better and better in business and for my clients, you know, along the way. Like, we're always trying to improve things, the way we coach, the methods we teach, and then of course, like, internally in the business as well.
What are some positive things that you've seen from the people that you've coached over the years? You know, I'm sure they'll eventually get a girlfriend and maybe a wife and a family. But other than that, like, are they gaining confidence in other areas of their life or personal growth and putting that into different methods of success?
Yeah, one of the most common testimonies we get actually is about how they were surprised that this has helped other aspects of their life, whether it be business or just whatever job they're working in, and also other relationships that they had, friends and family and things like that, have just improved tremendously. So that's, yeah, that's very common, and a lot of guys don't expect that. Because, of course, when you feel great in your dating life and you feel that you have the confidence that you can approach anybody, and you know that women are attracted to you now, and you're, you know, that's gonna spiral over into other parts of your life. Like, you're just gonna feel better just all the time, you know, knowing that you can get a date anytime you want, or knowing that you are dating somebody that's amazing, or a few women that are amazing. And so, yeah, your overall confidence definitely will increase. And it will help other aspects of your life. And yeah, we've had guys that have, of course, gotten married and found their love of their life shortly after a workshop. And we've had guys have just crazy stories and crazy experiences while on our workshops or shortly after. So it's really cool to hear those success stories. We had one guy who was actually with us when we were being filmed on it wasn't ABC News Nightline. It was Fox News, which I don't think ever actually aired because they couldn't finish filming because there was like some other thing that happened in Dallas and they had to go to that. But anyways, he got his, it was really a shame that they didn't film this part, when he got his first makeout on the second night of our workshop after 14 years of never kissing a girl.
Wow.
Never kissing a woman for 14 years.
Wow, that's got to be amazing feeling for him.
Yeah, he's really happy.
Yeah. Do you have any attractive man babies?
I don't personally, but I'm sure they're out there.
Let's talk about the YouTube success, man. So I was checking out your channel just before the show, and you guys have exploded. So, like, I've followed you on Facebook and in Instagram. And it took you, did you say 6 years to hit 100,000?
Yeah, about 6 years. Actually, I was looking recently at the beginning of this year, we were still at I think it was like January 1st, we were at 80,000.
And so basically in the past nearly 12 months, you guys have increased 420,000 more or less. What's the tipping point there, Matt? What do you think took it to the next level?
Focus. We decided to actually focus on YouTube because we knew that that is where most of our, well, at least a lot of our clients are coming from. And even the ones that weren't coming there, they were still checking us out on YouTube usually before they would register for a boot camp because they want to know who the hell they're working with. And just knowing, you know, guys are searching this, and what's the best place to search? Like, video. You know, even if they're Googling it, oftentimes a YouTube video will show up. So we decided to just really focus on it and get strategic on it and really just make sure our content was good, and not even just good, just like great. 'Cause already our content was good, but it wasn't like stellar. And that's really the secret, and it's not a secret, but that's really what it takes to get traction on YouTube, because YouTube wants you to stay on YouTube, which means they want you to keep watching the entire video or as long as possible, which means the content has to be good that you'll want to keep watching. So, I mean, and also longer content tends to do a little bit better because, again, then you're the customer is on YouTube longer because they're watching a longer video. So even if you make an amazing 3-minute video and people watch the whole thing versus, let's say, a 10-minute video and people only watch half, they're still watching for 5 minutes versus 3 minutes. So things like that is just helpful to know. And then also we just increase the quality of our videos. So we tried to increase the content, of course, and just did more research and just made sure we're coming out with really good content, not just generic content like, hey, be more confident and blah, 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 but actually like how to do it and diving deeper into subjects, whereas some of our subjects are more surface level. Like one of our videos that did really well is the top 10 countries for meeting beautiful women. It's kind of surface level, but it's something that's still helpful for travelers and whatnot. But also increasing the entertainment value of the videos as well. People have a very short attention span these days. So a talking head video can still do really well. And actually those do the best on our channel. So the talking head videos, but we add in some examples. I hire models to demonstrate what I'm talking about. And we show video clips, movie clips, and just add in a little bit of entertainment value so people want to keep watching because it's fun.
When did you mentioned that focus has been key for that, to hit that tipping point. When did you start that focus?
This year, the beginning of the year.
Okay.
So, yeah, when we went in, we went into the YouTube space, which they have those all over LA, or not all over LA, they have one in LA, but they have them all over the world, including like, I believe New York, Japan, a lot of major cities. So we started just increasing the production value by going into studios, although now we usually mostly home studios. And yeah, after we made that first batch of videos at the YouTube space in LA, that's when it started going faster. You know, the growth started growing faster. And then we also started bringing in other contributors as well. Some, we brought in some of the female perspective to shed some light. And also that helps with just delivering more content because I think the main thing is having great videos. I mean, one video, if it goes viral and gets 10 million views, is going to really help your channel, of course, and you're going to get a lot of subscribers. But also having more videos, then you have more likelihood of that happening. So we also just started increasing the volume of the amount of videos we're coming out with. Before last year, it was just kind of random. Like there was no consistency. Now we come out with at least one video a week, but we're striving to do 2 or 3. So yeah, we always have between 1 and 3 videos per week.
What was it like for you guys when you hit that 100,000 mark, then just shortly after you hit 200,000 mark, and then it continued to really hockey stick grow? What was it like for you and the team seeing that type of growth?
I mean, yeah, it was really cool and surprising that it could just like grow exponentially, especially since it took so long. So that was really cool and just obviously helped the company a lot, kind of helped us just obviously boost awareness and sales and everything. And I mean, I literally haven't been in a city where I haven't gotten recognized yet, including
really?
Philippines and Bangkok and, you know, Sweden and other cities. Even though half of our following is in the US, I still get recognized like everywhere now, which is kind of fun.
what do you see that's working on YouTube? So you guys are, you know, doing 1 to 2 videos per week. What are some of the hooks that bring people in to get them to subscribe and watch?
Well, I mean, you know, you can definitely use like clickbaity type titles if you want, but also just sometimes straightforward titles work really well. One of our top performing videos is what to do when a girl looks at you. That's the title. And basically it's what to do when a girl looks at you, which is basically in a nutshell, look back and then go talk to her. But it's, I forget how long the video is, but it's like a 6, 7, 8 minute video, something like that. And, you know, so, I mean, like the thumbnail is important, of course. I mean, really that's one of the most important things, the thumbnail, the title, but it doesn't have to be rocket science necessarily. Sometimes you just got to put out a lot. I mean, I did not think that would be the best video. One of my favorite videos is how to, I forget exactly what it's called. It's like how to meet women on social media, or how to use social media to your advantage, something like that. Mm-hmm. And that one did really poorly. Nobody's really searching for that, surprisingly, in such a social media rich world we live in. But that one didn't do very good. And I thought it was so entertaining and so much value. But the one that's basically look at the girl back and go talk to her did the best. So you never know. I mean, you just got to pick some topics that you want to talk about, and then make sure there's not a lot of fluff. That's important, because it's kind of like, YouTube is kind of like watching a TV show, right? You don't want to watch a TV show where people just ramble and it's just kind of wasting your time and you already know this stuff and it doesn't have a lot of entertainment value. You're going to get bored and change the channel. You want the stuff that's action-packed, that's entertaining, that has good content, where you're learning something, that things are changing and happening. And yeah, you really got to think of YouTube. I kind of think of YouTube as a TV show, whereas I think of other social media like Instagram, where you have 1 minute posts and short stories, as more like a commercial, like a preview. Or you know, it could even be like a backstage into the life of the YouTube star, in a sense. Like YouTube is the TV show, Instagram is the commercials, and actually the stories are really the behind the scenes.
Yeah, that makes sense. How much time are you guys? I mean, you're doing serious productions. I would call them serious productions for each video. How much time and effort are you guys putting into each video?
It depends on the video. I'd say, you know, if it's a longer video, like over 10 minutes, then obviously it takes a little bit longer. But I mean, setting up a studio doesn't really take a ton of effort, and it's really just planning out the content. So some stuff we script out, but even if it's scripted out, we don't just read a script when we're recording the videos, because we don't want it to sound scripted. So it'll, you know, we sometimes have to go back and forth and just coming up with a really good script or just an outline. I've been really just working more on just outlines now. Unless it's just like some topic that I haven't really ever talked about, then maybe it'll be a little bit more scripted. So that takes a little bit of time, kind of going back and forth. And when I say back and forth, I mean with myself and just some of the other either contributors or you know, Aaron, my business partner, or we just recently hired a content manager, and we have some other people on our team. So with them, just to hash out a really good script. And then of course it's just recording it, however long that takes. I'd say it takes maybe 2 or 3 hours on average to record, and then hiring the model and doing that, which takes maybe 2 or 3 hours, but I usually do like 5 videos at a time with her. So I'd say on average, like one video, like from start to finish, probably takes 8 hours, like full work day. But of course we're not doing it from start to finish in one day. But that's about how long I would say it probably takes. Some maybe a little bit shorter than that. Sometimes I just come up with ideas, like some of the recent ones, like I came up with like just my morning routine and some habits and things like that. That didn't take long at all. The whole process probably took 2 hours max.
And what's a YouTube subscriber worth to you? And I've gotten different answers based on, you know, which platforms people use. But do you know, like, so comparing it to like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever social media platform is, do you think a YouTube subscriber is more valuable? And then you know, what's the value around that one YouTube subscriber?
Well, I would say an email subscriber would be more valuable for us. But yeah, I mean, having somebody following on Instagram can be very valuable as well. which is something we're starting to kind of focus a little bit more on as well, because we want to diversify. I mean, if something happens to our YouTube channel or to YouTube in general, for example, how they censored everybody now, and a lot of channels got really hurt by that. You know, the more outrageous channels or sexual channels or whatever got really hurt, and because they're demonetized, and then because of that, YouTube doesn't rank them. YouTube wants you to watch videos where they can make money. So a lot of people like really got hurt by that. So we want to diversify. So I think it's good to have your prospects and your subscribers subscribe to multiple things. So for us, we're really focusing on email, YouTube, and then also Instagram, which is kind of more recent, because it kind of seems like that's a little bit more the wave of the future. But as far as the exact number, I personally don't know what that is. I should know. But our marketing team hopefully knows that.
You think you'll hit 1 million in 2019?
Yeah, I definitely want to. According to projections, like on social, I forget the app, I think it's called Social Veil, is an app that kind of gives you projections based on how things are going. Yeah, we should actually hit 1 million by the end of next year, unless things slow down, which we're not planning on that happening.
Very cool.
So that'll be really exciting. That's like my dream, to hit 1 million.
What are you going to do when you hit 1 million?
I'm going to throw a big party and invite you, for sure.
Las Vegas?
Sure.
Well, I'll come for sure, man. I want to know, before we move on, what are some of the things? You said you're in Tampa, you're at a business conference there, I'm doing some masterminding. What are some of the things that you're putting in your mind on a consistent basis to keep you going as an entrepreneur and as an influencer?
Well, I like to either read or listen to Audible. One thing a day that is something business related, whether it's like, you know, growing our leadership team or marketing or just either something business related or something like just personal development related, just, you know, habits or ways of thinking. And then also spending at least 30 minutes listening or watching or reading something in my field specifically. So it could be like pickup, it could be, you know, maybe something else that's dating related or relationship advice related. So that way, you know, I might hear like just one little idea every day, but that could spark an idea for a YouTube video or for something else I'm working on. And so I think it's really important just to keep growing in your field and then also keep growing as a person, of course, as far as like habits, mentality, etc. And then also, of course, growing in your business.
Very cool. Any books, Matt, that have been a huge shifter for you?
I mean, I hate to say like the classics that probably a lot of people say, but there's reasons for that. Of course, 4-Hour Work Week was like a huge game changer for me as far as just, you know, becoming a digital nomad, as I think it is for most digital nomads. Other ones, hold on, let me pull up my reading list, because I have so many books, man. It's hard to keep track of them all.
Yeah.
Just recent ones. But as far as like mentality and thinking, I mean, Think and Grow Rich is, of course, a classic. I really like anything by Tony Robbins. No More Mr. Nice Guy is a really good book if you're a nice guy, if you have nice guy syndrome. It kind of goes a little bit deeper into the inner game of, you know, probably the reason you're not, I don't say you as in you, I mean you as in guys listening that are having issues with women and dating, it usually has to do with supplication and not getting your needs met and looking for validation from women and these deeper concepts that, you know, you may not read in most pickup books or even see in most YouTube videos.
Got it. Any podcasts?
I just listen to mostly like dating and pickup podcasts. So yeah. Like the Yeah, I'm actually going to create a podcast. That's one of my 2019 goals and missions, is to start a podcast. So I might use some of like the YouTube content and maybe just put some of the audio on there sometimes, but also interview some influencers in the space, and then also just kind of have some of my own rants on there as well. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be fun.
That's good, especially since you have a good YouTube platform. It's easy to put up a podcast there and get some listeners from that, because you know, they're like, when we do our podcast, we just put it straight up to YouTube. We publish it to Podbean and it goes straight up to YouTube immediately. So it's really easy.
Yeah, I think I'm going to use a different channel for that. I have like my personal channel that I don't really use. I think there's two videos on there, if even that. Like my Matt Artisan channel. I think I'll put the audios there.
Very cool.
Just so we can keep our, you know, the main channel, The Attractive Man, is like very entertaining and that kind of stuff. Kind of separate the two.
Yeah. Well, if you need any tips on podcasting, just let me know. But I want to move.
I'll send that offer most likely.
Cool. I want to chat about influence now. As being a coach, you started out, even having a band, you started out as somebody with influence. And then as a coach, you're getting a little bit more personal with people, helping them with their dating life and helping them grow as individuals. And now as a famous YouTuber, your influence is grown quite a bit. So I'm curious how you've handled the influence over the past few years, growing and now being in a place where you go to cities around the world and you get recognized.
Well, yeah, like starting off, like being in the band, that's kind of where it really hit me that it's amazing to like help somebody. And that wasn't really the intention, at least for me, playing in a band. It was to have fun, play music, write, and get girls. But then we started writing music that was inspirational, and we tried to write music that was helpful. And guys, well, not just guys, but people would sometimes write to us on MySpace and tell us that our song changed their life. Or we had a few times where people wrote to us saying they were suicidal and they were going to end their life, but then our song like inspired them and now they have some hope and they decided not to. And that's awesome. Like just reading stuff like that was just like amazing. So I feel very fortunate that I get to influence people and help people and, you know, make a small difference in somebody's life and give them some confidence. And really, I'm not giving them the confidence. They have the confidence, but just helping them kind of find that within themselves is really gratifying. And it's definitely the reason I do it. I mean, yeah, it's cool to get recognized, or it's cool to, you know, whatever, to be on YouTube, but it's way cooler for somebody to say, dude, you helped me so much. You changed my life. You know, it's awesome. So I love it.
What have been some of the challenges, Matt, some of the bigger challenges maintaining this influence?
Challenges as far as what, like, well, I mean, we definitely, like, anytime you're an influencer and you're getting a little bit more popular, the haters are going to come out as well. So yeah. There's definitely haters. I have to not read YouTube comments too much, because there's so many trolls out there on the internet. So I would say to anybody who's an influencer, it's good to, at some point, at some level, it's good to get feedback for sure. It's always good to get feedback and read comments and, you know, tweak things a little bit. But at the same time, you have to be able to decipher just trolls and haters from, you know, somebody who's actually giving you some feedback, and not let that affect them, because I know people do get very affected by, you know, comments and trolls out there. We tell our female contributors, like, don't read the comments, and I'm sure they do. I know they do. But yeah, they're still with us, so that's good.
Have you ever been
drained or just been bummed out by some of the negative attention that maybe you get from YouTube comments? Or, and if so, then what'd you do to kind of turn yourself around and stay on top of things?
Well, with the negative, there's always balance. So it's not like we get more negative. We get way more positive than negative. So, I just glance over a few comments. I'll see a few, you know, there's always going to be a few negative ones. And then in the beginning, we would delete them. Now we're just like, it's too much work. Just leave them there. there's so many, like we get email testimonies on a very regular basis. Success stories from guys who've just used our programs, even like our $7 or $10 programs that have helped them so much. And I get so many messages on Instagram. I mean, Instagram, you're not going to get too many haters. So if you want to feel love, then just focus on Instagram. But YouTube, you will get, out of all social media, you will get the most haters, trolls, and negative, because it's everybody. You know, somebody can just search for your video. Whereas if somebody's following you on another social media platform, they're already your fan. Although some people follow people, even though they hate them. But at least in my experience, you know, the Instagram definitely balances that out.
Very cool.
If you're a very sensitive person, then that's probably a better option for you as far as social media.
Matt, any other tips about maintaining and growing influence and growing a business around that influence that you'd like to give the listeners?
I think just pay attention to your fans or your followers, like what they want, instead of like only just posting and making content what you want. Like, ask your fans what they would like to see more of. You know, it's so easy to do that. Like, before social media, you couldn't really do that. You just made content, put it on TV or radio, whatever you thought people would like. Now you can literally ask them what they like, and they can leave comments or send you messages. And, you know, you can see commonalities and just create content based on what people actually want you to create. So take advantage of that and use your following to figure out exactly what people want and then create it. And then make it the best.
Great tips, my friend. Matt, I think we're going to wrap up there. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all your tips and tricks and methods and wisdom with us. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.
If the listeners want to reach out and learn more about what you guys have going on, where's the best place they could do that at?
The best place would be theattractiveman.com, especially if you're interested in, you know, what we got going on as far as programs and live workshops. And we're all over the world. We have all sorts of workshops. And then we also have a free cheat sheet if you want to know how to talk to girls. You can download that at theattractiveman.com. The YouTube channel is theattractiveman.com as well. And my Instagram is my name, Matt Artisan. And Artisan is spelled just like Artisan, A-R-T-I-S-A-N.
Awesome. Matt, again, thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to wrap up there. Listeners, thank you guys for tuning in once again. And we'll see you all on the next episode. Goodbye, everybody. Hey, listeners, thanks for joining us once again. We wanted to remind you about our high-performance productivity coaching and our 5, 6, 7, and 8-figure private masterminds. These are all designed for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs to help you scale rapidly and grow. Check out all the details at thebusinessmethod.com. That's thebusinessmethod.com. And we'll see you all on the next episode.